bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
When I was a kid in the 70s, my mom used to bring me to this health food store that smelled like cardboard and carob. And I remember they had big bins of grains and it was very straightforward. You went to the health food store back then and there wasn't non-GMO, organic, grass-fed, cage-free, this, that, the other. There was just some bulk grains and some other things that she would get. Well, it's gotten a lot fancier since then, a lot more complicated. And I think more important than ever that we are eating as healthily as we can without going overboard and becoming extreme. So I'm thrilled to have the fantastic Stephanie Sachs on the program, MSCNSCDN. We're going to talk about her great book, What the Fork Are You Eating? An Action Plan for Your Pantry and Plate. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Lisa. I remember those smells, too.
Yeah, right? I should have said she used to drag me to the health food store because I was not a fan and I didn't want any carob, darn it. Just give me the chocolate and let's move on. But I don't remember. I mean, maybe I was too young to read, but I don't remember my mom looking at things going, wait, what's GMO? What's cage-free?
No, it didn't
grass-fed?
Exist.
Exactly. So tell us about yourself and we're going to jump into this great book where you look at all of these labels and help us understand what the heck we're doing when we're going shopping and how do we get the best food for ourselves without driving ourselves nuts.
Yeah. So so my background is that I am a trained chef and my mentor was fabulous Anne-Marie Colvin, who founded the Natural Gourmet Institute for Health and Culinary Arts in New York City.
Oh,
and she's
wow.
the author of several books, most prominently Food and Healing. And so I went to her school in the 90s, before it was hip and cool to eat healthy, and then got my master's in nutrition at Columbia University Teachers College. And so I am a culinary nutritionist, and I have basically built my professional life out of teaching people how to make healthier food choices, whether you're in the grocery store or you're in your kitchen. And how can you make these small changes that can make big differences? Because people don't realize that you can change one or two things in your diet, and that will help you shift, right, and shift that paradigm.
Oh, definitely.
And so for me, after years of practicing one-on-one with people and teaching large groups and educating and contributing to several books, I decided to see if I could write my own. And I did. What the Fork Are You Eating? And so it's really an encyclopedic guide on how to question the food that you're eating and make healthier choices for you and your family.
Yeah, and you know, your book, number one, you're really funny, which I think is great because not only do you learn a ton, but you enjoy learning a ton, which is, you know, the point of this show as well. I want people to have a good time. But you talk about doing like every diet, every fad, every this, trying all the different things. And that, you know, you said that kind of makes you who you are, right? Because you have all that experience and you know what other people have gone through to try to be the healthiest they can be. And then you help us really pinpoint what we need to do. So what are some things when it comes to, like I mentioned, grass-fed, organic, grass-fed, cage-free, non-cage-free, GMO. I mean, it's very overwhelming.
Right. So one thing I want to say, Lisa, which I think is an important part of my story and why perhaps I'm slightly believable, is not only because of my expertise, but I live as a patient and a practitioner. So I live with illness. And I got into this at a young age because I was very determined to figure out how I could feel good all of the time versus some of the time. And I didn't want to be on tons of medications. And so for me at the age of 15, this food journey really started where I started questioning what was in my food or where my food came from. And as I shifted my diet to many different, you know, I was macrobiotic, I was vegan, I followed Ayurvedic, I was vegetarian, you name it, I did it. I was trying to understand what would make me feel the healthiest. And in the end, what it ends up being is moderation. So it's being very clear on what all of those labels mean, so you know how to navigate the healthiest foods for you, and then eating the foods that make your system work most effectively. And for some people, that's avoiding gluten, or it may be avoiding dairy, or it may not be drinking at all, or having just two glasses of wine a week. It's different for everybody.
Yeah, it's so interesting you say that, because for me, I do better on more of a paleo, but very heavy on the vegetables, like a little grass-fed meat and a yam and a huge salad and some avocado. And where my husband can eat whole grains for till the cows come home, and he feels amazing. I eat whole grains and I get really tired. So it is interesting. But there are some across the board things, right? Obviously, we want to be eating more fruits and vegetables, and we want to be eating less highly processed foods. But yeah, again, that moderation comes in too.
Exactly. And what I always say is a great starting point for people is number one, reading ingredient lists, right? If you're buying processed foods, for example. But a great starting point is to remove anything and everything artificial. So from chemical preservatives to artificial sweeteners, flavors, colors, get all of that out. And that in and of itself is pretty easy to do this day and age. And once you do that, you start to feel remarkably different. It's amazing. I just had this dialogue with a friend of mine. My son is a travel hockey player, and so I'm all over. And you know, my hockey family doesn't necessarily eat the way that I do, and we're from all different backgrounds, and we come together because of this insane sport. And I've kind of started to rub off on some of these parents, and I had this dialogue with one of the parents this past weekend, and she said, you know, Steph, I finally decided to listen, and I've shifted my smoothies in the morning, and this is what I'm doing. And she's doing a whole foods-based smoothie versus, you know, protein powders and higher sugar. And she said, I have more energy than I've ever had. I feel great. It's unbelievable how changing a few things can make such a big difference. And her husband, who has teased me to no end, has now decided to jump on board. So what's amazing is that once somebody tries something, I always say, try this for a little while. If you start to feel differently, then you know you're on the right track.
Exactly. And that's how it was for me. I was like, why am I always so tired? Because I used to live on rice and beans. I mean, every meal I had rice and beans. I remember when my daughter was three, she'd sit on my lap and I would get rice and beans and lettuce and salsa and guacamole. And we would just share. And it was so much fun. And then after a few years, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so tired. And I'm like, okay, let's just have some salad and maybe a little bit of beans. So let's take out that. You know, like kind of figuring out what worked best. Although I do miss sharing that big bowl of food.
Well, and then sometimes you can have that, and what ends up happening is you get a bit of a food hangover, right, when you eat certain things.
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh,
and then
yes.
You get to decide, do I want to feel that way tomorrow or don't I? I mean, I'd love to enjoy a glass of wine, you know, one night, two nights a week. I can't because I have a renal disease and I can't process it. So I'm sick for 2 days afterwards with a hangover, one glass of wine. Mm. So we all have to know our bodies.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, recently my daughter and I went out. It was during February vacation, and we went out for Mexican food, my favorite Mexican place. And when I go, I usually don't eat the chips. And I'm like, screw it. I'm eating some chips. And oh my God, were they good. But it usually hits me the next day. It was 2 hours later. We were at a drugstore. I was picking up something, and I literally felt like I was hit in the head with a brick. And my mom, my daughter was like, Mommy, are you okay? And I'm like, I just have to sit down for a minute. I was just completely wiped out. And then about an hour later, I bounced back and I was fine. But I was like, you know what? Was it worth it? Yes, it was. But I went into that consciously knowing. Now, I thought it wouldn't be until the next day. But still, I knew there would be a repercussion. But man, those chips were good.
Well, I think what's so interesting, Lisa, about what we're talking about is that people are moving so quickly and people are so disconnected with not only what they're eating, but with their bodies and how their bodies feel, that we don't even realize that we're not feeling well, we're not feeling well. And
that's a good
if
point.
People could slow down enough to really think about what they're putting in their mouth and then connect that with how they may be feeling, I feel that people's choices would shift. You know, when I work privately one-on-one, one of the first things I do is I give clients a food diary and I say, this is an exercise in conscious consumption. And I say, I don't want you to hide anything. I want you to write it all out. It's amazing the dots that get connected through that process.
Oh, I'm sure. And that's what it takes, I think. Yeah. And once you know that, like you were saying, you can make that choice. But I have to say, most of the time, I will avoid the chips because I don't want to feel crappy. As a matter of fact, Last night I was craving Mexican. I thought, okay, so I took some grass-fed organic. Here we get into the labels, beef, mm-hmm. and I sautéed it with some different Mexican seasonings that I bought.
Right.
And then I got some butternut squash and I put it on a pan. I cut it thin. I roasted it with some avocado oil. And then I mixed in some salsa and guacamole and some chilies and some, I don't know, some other tomato. And it was so good. I didn't even miss the corn. Usually I feel like if you don't have corn, it's not Mexican. You know, I don't know. I'm from California. I like the corn tortillas and everything. But honestly, it was so tasty. And my daughter just gobbled it up. And I'm like, wow, that's a really healthy meal.
Yeah. You know what you can do too? It would be sort of interesting to try. I don't know why this came to mind. Is try that meal and use nori sheets.
Oh, that sounds good.
I mean, it will have a bit of a different flavor, but the flavor of the Mexican seasonings will be so overpowering that you won't even get that sort of mild kelp flavor.
Oh, and that's a good way to get that in, too. I like
that. Yeah, it's a great way to get it in.
Oh, now, today I had leftover, so I put it on top of fresh spinach. And it was delicious.
That's
so
yummy.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. But I do want to get to a little bit to some of the, you know, the labels. I am very particular about the meat. And I think that's an area where I'll spend a little more money on getting the grass fed. But what do you think?
Well, I think that if you're going to spend money, that's where it is to spend, is really focusing on the animal foods. You know, you are what you eat and you are what they ate and how they were treated, as I always say.
Sure.
And so you want a food, you want your animal food to exude health, and our animal food production system is a very sick one, extraordinarily sick. And the no hormones, no antibiotics, in all honesty, I'm not a proponent of the no antibiotics, rather. So the whole concept of all or nothing is pretty scary to me. And I always say this to people, you know, if you're a farmer and you are in the organic system and you're raising cattle and one of your calves gets super sick, you cannot give that poor calf antibiotics. So you have a choice. You can let the calf die, or you can remove the calf from your farm into the non-organic system and give it drugs, and then that calf will have less value, right? You're losing money. When you look at some of the labeling that's out there, for example, you know, USDA organic is all or nothing. If you look at A Greener World is an organization that's really working with farmers to help them transition to a high welfare farm. And their label, which is animal welfare approved, is not an all-or-nothing system, nor is a certified humane. And so the idea is that antibiotics can be administered judiciously and responsibly when an animal is sick and have the proper weaning period. Unfortunately, everybody is so sold on these no antibiotics, no hormones. Most people don't even know that legally you cannot have hormones in poultry or pork. So,
I didn't know that.
If you look at any of the packages from Purdue or Tyson, or no hormones, the joke's on you. They shouldn't even have to put that there because it's actually illegal. So it's really the antibiotic issue that we're dealing with, right? And so it's the overuse of the antibiotics in the animal food production system that's wreaking havoc on our own health and also animal health. So when you...
My mind, by the way. I've been in this field for so long. I didn't know about the certified... No, I have seen the certified humane now that I think about it, but
yeah.
I didn't know the minutiae of all this. So just keep talking. This is fascinating.
Yeah, it's really quite fascinating. It happens to be a very passionate subject area of mine. Unfortunately, my body craves animal foods, and if I did not, I would never eat them. Okay? But the reality is that all of these terms that we hear, pasture-raised, cage-free, hormone-free, antibiotic-free, humanely raised, all of them are defined by our government, but none of them are regulated by our government. So companies are just tossing them on packages. I mean, Purdue, for example, has a brand new commercial out. I don't know if people have seen it, and it shows, you know, a couple people in a poultry warehouse. I am pretty much convinced that 75% of the birds that were in that warehouse prior to shooting that commercial were removed. And they're talking about how they're antibiotic-free and how they're putting oregano in the water because it's an antimicrobial for their birds. And apparently they're talking about how healthy their birds are. Now, my 11-year-old saw that commercial the other day, and he said, "Mom, those birds look so sick."
Oh.
I'm like, "You're right, they do."
Wow.
And most people won't know that. So now you'll look at that commercial and think, "Oh, wow, Purdue, they're doing, you know, all natural, which means nothing, except minimally processed, no artificial ingredients." And now they're saying that they're hormone-free and antibiotic-free. But you look at those birds, somebody with my eye, and I'm going to say, those birds don't look that healthy. And the reality is when we go and we buy animal foods, for example, what we want to do is we want to look for third-party verification. Now, USDA Organic is great in a lot of ways, but they really do not follow through on the high welfare as much as they could. And then there's animal welfare approved, which is actually the highest welfare label you can get on any animal food product. And you can go to their website at animalwelfareapproved.org, and you can actually search where you can get their food, where their farmers are.
Oh, great.
And that's where I order my meat. I order from a farm that has been certified by Animal Welfare Approved, because I want to make sure that me and my family are eating the highest welfare animal foods. And then we have a poultry farm, you know, not that far from our house, and that's where I get my birds. And then on occasion, I will buy the packaged products. And a lot of times I can see the certified humane, like Murray's chicken, for example, is certified humane. And then there are times, in all honesty, Lisa, when we're on the road for my son's hockey, or you know, I'm running to the grocery store and there are no other options. And so I'm getting the options that I know are not my ideal. But like I always talk about in the book, we do the best we can given the situations that we're in.
Wow. Yeah, no, that makes total sense. I mean, you have to be able to get what's available to you as well. And if you can't get what you want to get, then it can be really challenging, especially if you're traveling. But to make an effort when you're home, I think makes a difference. Yes, exactly.
You know, and
exactly.
The other thing, too, that's fascinating is this day and age with this internet culture that we're in, you really can get anything on the internet shipped to you. And it's a matter of understanding, and like I define in the book so clearly, what these labels mean. Are they regulated? What are your best options? You know, I give directives under every label on what you can do. And should you feel comfortable with this? Shouldn't you? And then you, as the reader, have to decide how you're going to navigate that.
Stephanie, I have to have you back because the time went by way too quickly. And I still have so many questions. But in the meantime, everybody has got to get this book, What the Fork Are You Eating? An Action Plan for Your Pantry and Plate, The Truth About What's Hidden in Your Food. Stephanie, where do we find out about you in the meantime?
Well, you can find out about me at StephanieSacks.com, F as in food for Stephanie, because I spell it with an F, and CKS. So that's where you can find out. And I'm on social media, on Instagram, where I'm mostly active on right now, and then also Twitter and Facebook. But you can get everything off my site, which is going to be under renovation shortly.
Well, I think you're fantastic, and you really opened my eyes. Again, thank you so much, Stephanie. And everybody, thank you for listening. You can check us out on iTunes. Please subscribe, rate, and review. It makes a big difference to get more people aware of the show and all the kick-arse guests that I have. I want to thank everyone for listening. I don't know if I can say the other word on here. I've certainly said enough at home. Oh, I probably shouldn't have mentioned that either. Anyway, I'm getting goofy. I want to thank everyone for listening to Talk Healthy Today. Stay well.